I tell you what, it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you this morning. The presence of God has been felt in this place. And Mother, we want to honor you. We want you to know that you matter and everything that you have done matters. You help to make society better. Because of the investment that you make in your children, the sacrifices that you make every single day, countless times a day, even when others are not seeing and you don't feel like you have the strength to continue on, and yet you seem to be able to reach down within and find a strength that is not something that comes from the natural source, to be able to push forward and continue to bring about a life change, a commitment, a forever commitment, from the moment that you give birth to the moment that you reach the grave, you forever will be a mother. And we love you, and we're so thankful for you, for each and every mother. And for those who maybe have never had a natural child, but have chosen to be a mentor, to love a child in need, to care for and reach out to those who are abandoned. The Bible says that there is the true religion is caring for the widow and the orphan. And so for those of you spiritual mothers who have led the way, who have gathered those around you who needed guidance and spoken words of comfort and love to their hearts and cared for them and received phone calls at all hours of the night, choosing to be a mother to those who needed a mother, I want to say thank you as well. You are just as much to be honored as those who have physically birthed children. So we are so thankful for all of our natural and our spiritual mothers. So we honor you today. Be sure that if you happen to have the privilege and the joy of having your mother with you, be sure to reach out to them and let them know how much you love them. Don't ever take for granted the sacrifices that they make. Amen. Well, we are truly looking forward to having you here in the house in just a couple of short weeks. We are so excited about that. But this morning, I want to go ahead and get started with the message that we have been talking about, the 24/7 church. The 24/7 church. And today, we are continuing on a message that I shared 2 weeks ago, Stronger Together. Stronger Together. So this is now the sequel to this message. And the question that I want to address this morning is a question of independence. Why do we need each other? Why do we need each other? I'm getting my phone out here so I make sure I don't go over time because it feels like one of those mornings. Why do we need each other? Why is self-sufficiency impossible to obtain? It is impossible for us, think about this. It is impossible for us to be self-sufficient. True independence is unattainable. The reality is that we need each other. As much as it pains us to admit this truth, we could not survive or even begin to exist independently. Our ability to exist requires a multitude of elements, perfectly balanced and tuned with such finite detail and mathematical precision that the slightest alteration would prove catastrophic for humanity. Ethan Siegel, a PhD astrophysicist, author, and science communicator, wrote an article published by Forbes in which he stated the following: "The fact that our universe has such a perfect balance between the expansion rate and the energy density today, yesterday, and billions of years ago is a clue that our universe really is finely tuned. Further tests will determine whether our best conclusion at present truly provides the ultimate answer. But we cannot just wave the problem away. The universe really is finely tuned, and our existence is all the proof we need." Jonathan Borwin and David H. Bailey, both PhD mathematicians, wrote an article published by the Conversation in which they stated the following: "In short, numerous features of our universe seem fantastically fine-tuned for the existence of intelligent life. While some physicists still hold out for a natural explanation, many others are now coming to grips with the notion that our universe is profoundly unnatural. It is abundantly clear that our universe was divinely orchestrated by God to support and to sustain our existence on this earth. We rely upon oxygen and water and the warmth of the sun and food and so many other things just to sustain our existence. But we wouldn't even exist if not for the consent and will of two individuals and God. The very word for conceive in Hebrew means God willed it. God willed it." I want you to let that sink in for a minute. I'm going to pause right here. The fact that you exist is because God willed for you to exist. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You weren't just some wild decision or a reckless decision made by two individuals years ago. God chose to allow you into existence because he had a plan for your life. It doesn't matter the choices that other people have made in the past. It doesn't matter the choices of your birth parents. What matters is that God allowed you to be here. And if he allowed that, he allowed it for a purpose. You are special. You are loved. You are important. And don't you ever doubt that. Don't you ever doubt that. Never doubt the importance for which you are here. The reason that you are here is because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Romans chapter 11, verse 36 in the NIV says, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Are you ready for the truth? You have always been dependent, and you can never be independent. Only God is independent, because only he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He had no beginning, and he has no end. He always has been, he is, and he will always and forever be. This is why he alone is the only one true living God and creator of all. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Our lack of independence, however, goes far beyond the initiation of our existence and the ability for our existence to be sustainable. There is a deeper truth that cuts to the very core of our nature. That is our need for companionship. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 in the NIV, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." Francie Hart Brockhammer, MD, is the chief psychiatry resident at UC Irvine Medical Center, where she is doing clinical work and research examining the social, relational, and spiritual determinants of mental health. She serves as an American Psychiatric Association Leadership Fellow and is a member of the UC Irvine Medical Ethics Committee. In an essay titled Death by Loneliness, she wrote the following. According to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, after basic physiologic and safety requirements have been met, i.e. food and shelter, the next greatest human need is social connectedness, to feel that we belong. Without this, Maslow postulated that humans could not successfully pursue higher aspirations, such as growth, autonomy, and self-actualization. The death toll that has resulted from America's lack of connection certainly seems to give credence to Maslow's theory. It also suggests that to return to a state of health and prosperity, we must solve the problem of loneliness. She further writes, this kind of loneliness, defined by an absence of meaningful relationships, now plagues nearly half of all Americans. In fact, American loneliness has doubled since 1980. One in five Americans now report having no one to talk to when going through difficult times. Our isolation is so severe that former U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy recently declared loneliness as a public health crisis. What is driving us to self-destruction? There are many factors, all with one unifying theme. We are no longer living in community with one another, and consequently, we are lonely. A Harvard research study followed 89,000 women over a 15-year period in order to understand the relationship between religion and suicide. Results showed that the Catholic women who attended Mass weekly had a suicide rate that was half that of the original or the general population. Of the 7,000 women who attended Mass more than once a week, not a single one committed suicide during the 15 years of the study. Why might this be? The horizontal component of faith ties us to a real life, hold hands and pray together community. This community is rich with cradle-to-grave relationships founded on a shared biblical appreciation of human nature and its flaws and the importance of forgiveness. Psychiatrist and author M. Scott Peck encapsulated this well. When I am with a group of human beings committed to hanging in there through both the agony and the joy of community, I have a dim sense that I am participating in a phenomenon for which there is only one word, glory, end quote. I'm sharing all of this with you because I want you to see that both science and psychology are arriving at the same conclusion as Scripture. We were not made to do life alone. We were created to be dependent upon each other. We need each other, and the world needs us, because together we are the church. We carry the antidote to loneliness and depression. We are called to community. But we must be connected to the source of life in order to be a life-giving community. I want to take us a step further today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 27, in the NLT, it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body became an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. As I read this passage, I can't help but think about the human body and how it is made up of cells. An article published in Healthline, citing multiple sources, stated the following. Humans are complex organisms made up of trillions of cells, each with their own structure and function. Scientists have come a long way in estimating the number of cells on the average human body. Most recent estimates put the number of cells at around 30 trillion. Think about that number for a minute. 30 trillion. These cells all work in harmony to carry out all the basic functions necessary for humans to survive. Humans are multicellular, complex organisms. The cells inside our bodies are specialized. This means that each type of cell performs a unique and special function. For this reason, each of the 200 different types of cells in the body has a different structure, size, shape, and function, and contains different organelles. All the cells work together to keep the human body running efficiently. Isn't that fascinating? Each human cell is itself an organism, but it must remain in the body to survive. Each cell has its own function, but it needs other cells to care for its well-being and provide it with essential nutrients. Somehow, all of these trillions of cells within the body, each performing their individual functions, are what comprise the human body. I want you to think about this for a minute. How does that relate to the church? You and I, and all of God's people throughout the entire world, are part of one body. But we cannot survive outside of the body. Jesus said, except you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can have no part with me. It is us being connected to the vine. It is us being in relationship with Jesus. It is us being in relationship with one another that makes us part of the body of Christ. As we are there in the body, we have a specific function. a specific task that we are given to do. But the unique thing to this is that we can't care for ourselves as much as we can care for others. There are certain things, let me rephrase that, there are certain things about what we need that we cannot provide for ourselves. There are certain things that we have to rely upon others to provide for us. And God created it that way because he knew that we needed to be in relationship. He knew that our human nature would be to push back and to push away from what God was wanting, to push away from other people. He knew that in our nature, we would rather be self-reliant, not to have to depend on other people. And he knew that that would be detrimental to us. And so he chose to make it such that we would need each other in order to survive, in order to be stronger, in order to grow. The body is healthy when each and every one of us are connected together, doing the one thing that we were created to do. We all have different abilities, but we must learn that as we work together, doing the thing that we were created to do, using our gifts and our abilities, we are building the body of Christ. We are strengthening one another. We're encouraging one another. We're building each other up. And when we do that, the Bible says that the world will see that you love each other. And they'll know that you're mine. The way that we lift Jesus up in this life, the way that the world will come to know Jesus is whenever we are connected to him and connected to one another, doing the will of the Father, doing what God placed within us to do, and doing it to the best of our abilities. Being in a healthy state is being connected, is being in community. We are the church. We are the church, but we need each other. One cell by itself is helpless and has no ability to fulfill its purpose for existence. Yet together, the trillions of other cells within the body, all connected by the blood and carrying the DNA, it has the same DNA, it has purpose, and it's vital to the body's ability to function properly. Likewise, every believer connected to the blood of Jesus Christ, carrying his Holy Spirit within us, finds purpose and plays a vital role in the healthy function of the body of Christ. Together, we are stronger because together we are his church. Amen? Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I want you to hear this. God has not called you to independence. He has called you to interdependence. He has not called you to be independent. He has called you to be interdependent. This is hard. I'm the first one to admit, I raised my hand. This is hard. By nature, we do not like to depend on others. Dependence leaves us vulnerable. Relying on others means we can't control the outcome. Can I give you a little secret? You can never control the outcome. You can never control the outcome. Do you remember the saying? The chain is only as strong as the weakest link. Your success is contingent upon the well-being of those around you. Say amen or say ouch, one of the two. Your success is contingent upon the well-being of those around you. You can only give what you have. And what you have doesn't come from you. I'm going to say that again. Man, it's empty in this room and it's quiet in here. I usually have one or two that are in the bag, but I'm telling you. You can only give what you have. And what you have doesn't come from you. Just as every cell receives what it has from the blood. Listen to that. Just as every cell receives what it has from the blood, so it is with us. The gifts and the abilities that we have come from the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ and have been given to us so that we can strengthen. Listen. The gifts and the abilities that we have come from the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, and they've been given to us so that we can strengthen and care for others. They've been given to us so we can strengthen and care for others. We're going to read this verse again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the works in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Man, it can't get any clearer than that, but at the same time, that's a hard pill to swallow. What, you mean that what I have isn't for me? What I have isn't for my benefit? And so that I can better myself? No. What you have has been given to you by God for others. Whew. It's been given to you by God for the benefit of others. I want to recap. Independence is impossible to achieve. You've always been dependent, and you can never be independent. Say it with me. Independence is impossible to achieve. You have always been dependent, and you can never be independent. Truth number two. We need to belong. We can only find purpose and realize our potential when we are connected in community. Life has hope, meaning, purpose, and satisfaction when we discover that we belong. We are stronger together. Say it with me. We are stronger together. Truth number three. Everyone is important to someone. Everyone is important to someone. I need you, but you need me. And we all need each other. We are all members of one body. Truth number four. Is there anybody getting anything out of this? Come on, give me a thumbs up out there. Give me a high five. Let me know that God's speaking to you. Number four, we all have something to give. We all have something to give. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. In conclusion, without Jesus, I'm like a cell of the body, disconnected from the blood. It is only when I am connected to Jesus, the blood source, and connected to my church family, his body, that I have purpose and life has significance. As part of the family of God, we are called to live out our faith by caring for one another in community. When we are connected to Jesus and to each other, we become the church. We are stronger together. As we live in the unity of our faith in Jesus, by caring for one another, he is lifted up, and that is how the church grows. This is true worship. One final scripture, and then I'm closing. Musicians, go ahead and come up. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. In the NLT. Did you catch that passage reference? What is the Acts chapter what? 2:47? That sounds familiar. Let's see what it says. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. As we do our part in worshiping God by caring for one another, the Bible says right here that they were praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and as a result, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Did it say that they were out there preaching and telling people that they were sinners and they were going to hell? No, it said that they were in community, loving on one another, carrying out their faith, living out their faith by showing love, sharing the love of Jesus with one another. And that was how they were worshiping God. And as a result, the world was coming to know Jesus. If we could get this, y'all, if we could get this, we could change the world. Are you ready to change the world with me? Are you ready to let Jesus use you to make a difference? It's as simple as being connected to him and letting him use you with the giftings and talents that you have to care for those around you. When you show love, when you show kindness, Jesus is being lifted up. And that's all he needs. He just needs to be seen. Because when his love is seen, it's attractive enough. You don't need all the frills. You don't need all the lights. You don't need all the fancy words. Just simple acts of service. Loving one another is how we love God with all that we are. In closing, you may be filled with potential, but potential without purpose leaves you spiritually impoverished. I'm going to say that one more time. You may be filled with potential, but potential without purpose leaves you spiritually impoverished. You may be the most successful person by the world's standards. You could be the most educated, affluent member of society. Your pedigree could be the envy of the most elite of social circles. All that means nothing without the satisfaction that comes from fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. You could have it all and still find yourself empty. You were created for community. You were created to belong to Jesus and to belong to his family. We have been given a gift that others need, and you have a need that only God can meet through others. Through others. You may think that you have nothing to offer. You may see your life as worthless and insignificant. You may feel as though your life has been one big mistake after another. Maybe you feel as though you have hurt everyone around you, and the shame and the guilt you carry is too much to bear. Perhaps you feel helpless, hopeless, and alone, with no reason for living. I'm here to tell you that there is hope. I am here to tell you that you were created with purpose and for a purpose. I want you to know that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and has sent his Son to die on a cross to set you free from your burden of guilt and shame. God forgives you. God forgives you. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Word of God says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you will turn to Jesus, he will give you new life and give you purpose. He can't wait to welcome you into his big family. Young or old, rich or poor, education, ethnicity, gender, none of it matters. Turn to Jesus. Come just as you are. Come find purpose and significance. Come find acceptance and forgiveness. Let his love embrace you and calm your fears. Would you give your life to Jesus? Would you belong to Jesus? If you are ready to say yes to Jesus and find the satisfaction that you are longing for, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Right there where you're watching, online, Would you raise your hand by typing the word yes right now? Type yes. I want to pray with you. Will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I need you. Come on, pray it with me. Dear Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. Come and change me on the inside. Give me purpose. Fill me with your peace. I accept your forgiveness. Thank you that you have adopted me as your child. I receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, I want you to know that the Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing at one who comes and says yes to Jesus, at one who receives the Father as their Father. I want you to know that you have been welcomed by heaven into the family of God. He loves you, and he is celebrating. He's throwing a party in heaven right now because you have said yes to him. That is such a wonderful thing. I want you to mark this day down as the day that your life forever changes. I'm here to tell you that there may be some rocky roads ahead, but if God is with you, who can be against you? There is no one. He is here to carry you. He is here to walk with you. He is here to guide you. He's here to fill you with his peace, with his love, with his joy, and take you to places and heights that you have never been before in your journey. I am here to tell you, welcome to the family. We're so thankful that you are a part of this wonderful body of Christ that we call the church. Welcome. We love you, and we're so thankful for you. Now, I want to take just a brief moment to pray for the unity of the body. I know that there are those who may be struggling as you were listening to this message because you have struggled all your life with trust issues. You've struggled all your life because you have felt that nobody truly understood you or cared. And even though there was a time in your life where you said yes to Jesus, even though there was a time in your life where you have sat in the pews of a church, you still have felt isolated, like you truly couldn't trust anyone, because you've seen the hypocrites, you've seen the gossip, and you know that people are people, and people hurt people at times. But I'm here to tell you that God has called us to relationship. God has called us to trust him, and to share his love with the people around us. And yes, you may be hurt at times, but you must offer forgiveness. Jesus said, if you want to receive forgiveness, you must yourself forgive. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm asking you right now that you would take that offense, that you would take that fear, that you would take every doubt, every worry, every frustration, all the people that have hurt you in the past, would you come and lay it at the feet of Jesus? Would you choose to follow the path of Christ and forgive, even whenever they don't deserve it? Would you choose to maintain relationship? Maintain relationship with your Father by maintaining relationship with your brothers and sisters. I'm going to pray for you right now. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, heal me right now. Heal me right now. Heal my broken heart right now. Heal my wounds right now, Lord. Help me to be able to forgive. Help me to have a heart of forgiveness and to release those who have hurt me. Come on, right now, right where you are. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that the healing balm of Gilead that flowed from your stripes would be applied to the hearts and the minds of every single person who has ever taken an offense, who has ever felt hurt or broken, who has ever been betrayed. Help us to remember that your best friends betrayed you. Help us to understand, Lord, that following you doesn't mean that it's an easy road, but it's important for us to stay in relationship. Lord, I ask right now that you would bring healing, that you would bring restoration, that you would cause us to be united as your body, as your church, so that you can be lifted up in our lives as we stand united under the banner of your love. May it be so, O God, that you would bring healing right now. Healing in Jesus' name, restoration, and I pray for unity of the body of Christ, not just in this church, but every single church in this city, every single church in this state, and throughout this nation and around the world, in Jesus' name, that you would make us your church, your people, because you are coming back soon, and you're coming back for a bride who loves you and who is prepared, who is loving the community around, who is sharing your love with one another. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing this miraculous work. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, we love you so much. We're so thankful for you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this celebration today. I would encourage you to continue to connect with us and stay tuned for the announcements that are coming up. And continue to listen in to this series. Reach out and love the people around you. Don't forget about your mother today. It's a very special day that we celebrate moms.